This is Wells Tech, a show that explores the intersection of technology and ministry. Wells Tech is a part of the Streams Media Network sponsored by Wells, the Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod. Your show hosts are Martin Spriggs and Sally Draper. Join the conversation at wellstech.wells.net.
Hello, everybody. This is Martin Spriggs.
And I'm Sally Draper.
See, I jumped right in there for you. You weren't quite ready. Just keeping you on your toes, Sally.
Yeah, gotta pay attention with you, Martin.
That's right. Never a dull moment. Episode 337 for Tuesday, April 15th, 2014. It's a show about technology and ministry and where those two intersect, and we have a good time doing it, and hopefully our viewers and listeners do the same. If you'd like to join the show live, we do it every Tuesday, 4 o'clock, wellstechlive.wells.net is the place to go. If you don't have that spot available on your calendar, we do offer it in a downloadable or streamable format in many different locations, including iTunes, Stitcher, your favorite podcaster. If you just go to wellstech.wells.net, you'll see all the places you can do that, and you can actually watch and listen right there. So, did I catch it all, Sally? Was that it?
I think you are on your A game today, Martin. That's very good. And I want to say a special welcome to Holy Week. This is a special week, obviously, in the Christian church year, and a wonderful opportunity to reflect on our Savior's work on our behalf.
Yeah, absolutely. Very busy week, so I'm sure we'll have a lot of pastors out there who may not actually be able to tune in this weekend with good reason, but catch up next week. So, and this is a show for one that I don't think anybody's going to want to miss. It's kind of like I'll call it the DIY Smackdown, but you have a little nicer name for it, I think. It was the, what did you call this? DIY and volunteering show.
That's
very,
right.
Very nice. DIY, what are we talking about?
We are going with a new theme on the Wells Tech podcast, and this is the first of what we hope will be many do-it-yourself focused episodes. That's a real popular meme in today's culture to find ways to hack or do-it-yourself, make your own solutions. Probably one of the main goals is for a more affordable price tag, but right, also for the fun of tackling these types of projects. So somewhere along the line, we came up with the idea that we were going to make these solutions separate from one another and show them on the podcast and see how we did, I guess. I don't know if there's supposed to be a winner out of this or not.
No, nah, there's no winner, but if people want to vote, that's fine.
Okay.
I think do-it-yourself types of projects have always been the Lutheran way, so I think it's a good fit for podcast. And you and your family seem to specialize in DIY-type projects. We've talked about a few of them on the show before, and you actually have one in progress as well. I remember distinctly the iPad mounting device that you had there for the kitchen. Is that still there, by the way?
Well, we moved, and it wasn't an iPad. It was a laptop that we used.
Right.
A piano hinge, and mounted it upside down. And in the move, we decided not to do that, mainly because the laptop was quite out of date by this point. So,
perfect DIY candidate, though, something that's maybe outlived its usefulness and repurposing it. So
absolutely,
good stewardship.
So ultimately, we're repurposing it in another area. So that's another reason why we didn't put it in the kitchen. But we have plenty of tech around the house. We didn't need the kitchen solution anymore. But
right,
yeah, we've done that. We've done lots of other projects. That's probably the one that pops out at the top of the list.
Yeah, you've done some stuff with Raspberry Pi. Mm-hmm. Kevin's got some hydraulics he's working with. One of your sons is creating a drone. Right.
He just ordered a quad rotor, like whisper motors and these propellers for building a quad rotor. So he is in mid-project on the whole quad rotor.
Maybe not ministry application there, but
Hey, we hope to put a camera on it and take pictures. Like, we could fly over your church and take some aerial photos.
Some aerial photography of your church brochure. There you go.
I have another special DIY project that we did, but I'm going to save that for a little bit later after we've gotten through the SmackDown part.
Yes. So what is the SmackDown part? What did we finally decide to do?
Well, we figured we'd start simple, I think, and we went with a do-it-yourself smartphone stand so that your smartphone could be at a proper angle for viewing when you're sitting at your desk. And there's lots of ways to do that. After I started looking, I found many, many do-it-yourself type solutions out on the web, and then it was just kind of pick and choose and hope I didn't pick the same one as you.
Right, and you didn't. You took the high road. I took the low road. I took the very simplistic approach. And there's lots of uses for this, as you mentioned. I think one of the primary uses is watching media content on the device. So on your smartphone, and I used an iPhone as my model. So playing a podcast, playing the Wells Tech podcast, you could prop that up. In a viewable angle. One thing that a lot of cases, even iPhone cases today, don't provide is, you know, some do, but most don't provide a little kickstand or way to prop it up at a viewing angle, so you're kind of laying it flat. But goodness knows, as you mentioned, there are a lot of DIY projects to solve that particular problem. So I picked, like I mentioned, I took the low road and the 5-minute solution, less functional than I'm sure the Sally Draper approach, but my approach was to simply take some kind of rigid card, whether it be a discount card, an old credit card, something that has something that's bendable and shapeable in the shape of a credit card. And I found an old Delta SkyMiles card for my card, which I wasn't using anymore. This is all digital anyway, so you don't need those cards anymore. I could have picked United or Southwest or whatever, but the Delta SkyMiles one did the trick. So actually, and I don't know if yours does, but my DIY project has my name engraved on it already.
Wow.
With Delta SkyMiles, my Delta SkyMiles number as well, but and even a barcode on the back. So for those of you watching at home, here's the result of my 5 minutes of work. So I took the card and bent it in two places. So the first bend or fold, you want to do it maybe a 90-degree angle. And that's maybe a third of the way down the card. And maybe 90% to the other end of the card, you bend it in the other way. That's kind of the brace or the stand that the phone sits in. So you've kind of set the card like so, and so that it's sitting kind of like a triangle on your desk. And then the phone sits right in the that little flange that comes out at the bottom. And if you wanted to sit it up a little bit higher, you can bend it a little bit more, a little bit less. But basically, you can configure it to the appropriate viewing angle. And easy access, not super portable, I guess. You could throw it in a bag. It might get a little bit beat up. But again, you probably have other cards that you could take along for that purpose as well. So that was my DIY solution to a smartphone stand, a personalized SkyMiles smartphone stand.
Well, that's nice, Martin. Mine isn't personalized, but I do have a little bit of bling to show you in a moment. But my smartphone stand took me a lot longer, so you definitely win the speed test there.
We should do, have little categories, rating categories. Speed, durability, style, flair, you know, that kind of stuff.
Definitely.
Does it work? That might be one category that we have to have.
Will it last?
Will it work, yes.
Yeah. All right, so I did some searching, and I came up with basically a folding paper version of an iPhone stand. And one thing I was particularly looking for was the ability to use my cable. So if the phone was standing upright, like in a portrait's stance, I'd be able to hook it up and get power to it if I wanted to power my phone. I've been using some apps during the day, Pomodoro-type apps, that kind of eat away at my phone's battery life pretty quickly. So having power is a nice plus. So that was one of my goals, and I found this PDF document, and I'll have a link to it in the show notes. And it basically was print this, cut it out, and fold it, and it should work for you. The caveat is that paper's not super strong, and so, you know, resting your iPhone on a sheet of regular paper or even a cardstock type paper can really cave it in. And so the instructions included a video, and the guy basically glued it to a piece of cardboard and then cut it out with an X-Acto knife. And if you're looking at the screen and can see this, it's quite a bit of cutting, and not just cutting, but a whole lot of scoring for folding it and things. So the video is like 7 minutes long, and it's pretty much this guy cutting out with an X-Acto knife the whole time.
Yes.
Yeah. So I had a different idea, and I don't know, Martin, if you remember, but back at Christmas time, I got a machine for cutting. And my machine is called a Cameo Silhouette, and it is it's capable of bringing in images
and
turning them into cut files. So I had the machine actually do the cutting for
me. This is truly a DIY project if you got to go out and buy a machine.
I used what I had available.
Used what you
to
had.
Me.
That is one of the qualifications.
And it is a creative hack of the original,
is.
You have to admit.
I like it.
It did all that fancy scoring and cutting for me, and
wow.
I folded it, and let me just turn off my screen share. I'll show you quickly. I made a couple because it was nice. It was easy to duplicate, so here's what it looks
you
like.
You could go into manufacturing, sell
I
these
could,
suckers.
I could. And this poor guy that spent 7 minutes with his X-Acto knife. So you fold it up nicely, and here's the finished version. It's
wow.
Pretty cool. It has kind of an angle to it, so when it sits on your desktop, it sits at an angle. Some little kickstand kind of things in the back for extra support. And there's the hole for the power cable, so if it's standing upright. But you may notice that it actually started tearing. I used some of my scrapbook paper. It was pretty thick, but I wasn't 100% thrilled with the results. So version 2 was born. This is a long story. Sorry, you guys got to be patient with me. Let me share my screen one more time. And this time I took a piece of cardboard and some spray glue, just like the guy had originally suggested, and I glued some really nice scrapbook paper to it so it would look nice. Not engraved, but definitely lovely
style,
looking.
Style, yes.
Yes. And I sent that through my cutting machine as well. However, it scored it nicely, didn't cut all the way through the cardboard. So in came the I don't know what you call these. It's got a razor. It's a box cutter. And I used a box cutter and cut around the edges, basically. And so there it is cut out. I had some fancy paper on the back of it as well. And started to fold it up, and there it is all folded. And it, too, will hold my iPhone. So
that,
here's the blinged out version.
That is nice.
What do you think?
So let's see the phone in it.
Oh, I have a phone laying here somewhere. Problem is, I wasn't too thrilled with even the amount of space they left for my cable. So ultimately, I don't think the cable thing would work well because it's just super skinny there. And maybe the older cables, I don't know the difference in the names, but my iPhone has a smaller cable width, and it has a really long plasticky part. So it's too long for this. Distance that's here. So anyway, maybe the cable thing didn't quite work out like I wanted, which was kind of the point of doing this one. But anyway, I'm really happy with the way it sits nicely on my table, and it looks just lovely. So we need points there, folks. So that's my contribution.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it turned out nice.
How many hours did that take you?
Well, actually, the cutting machine makes it really simple. It cuts in about 3 minutes, and you just fold it up. So
nice.
Really not that big a deal. I just wanted to try it on a heavier medium just to see what that would be like.
Okay. So now the challenge goes out to our viewers. And that is, what do you use to stand up your iPhone? If it's not one of these two solutions, what have you tried? So share those at wellstech.wells.net or wellstech@wells.net, and we'll include those on next week's show. So that's DIY week one. We'll do it next month. And we would encourage you guys to let us know what kind of DIY project you'd maybe like us to try out.
I have a bonus DIY project to give them some ideas, Martin.
Okay.
One more quick photo slideshow from me, and I promise I'll be quiet. This was an over-the-weekend kind of thing. We were actually celebrating confirmation at our house. We decided to play Bible trivia. And in the course of doing it, we decided we needed a buzzer system so we could ring in based on teams. So with a lot of different wiring and some buttons attached to broom handles, decorated nicely with washi tape so we could distinguish who was who, we attached LEDs to a lid and ultimately created what we're calling the Win-O-Rama 3000. And it was basically like kind of like playing Knowledge Bowl. You could ring in with the buzzer, it would light up, and we would be able to tell who got in to answer the question the quickest. So turned out to be wildly fun and popular, and we had a great time with it. We're really happy with the design. And I know the question that everybody's asking, if you're seeing the pictures on the screen, is why does the Win-O-Rama 3000 have a chicken on it? And that's because a chicken on it. It has a chicken on the logo. And that's because the winner could say, winner, winner, chicken dinner. Have you ever heard that, Martin?
I've heard you say it a number of times.
Okay. I had to look up the history of winner, chicken dinner. Apparently, back in the day in Las Vegas, if you won $2, they would say winner, winner, chicken dinner because you could afford a chicken dinner. That was the standard meal that you could get for around $2 in Las Vegas. So there's the history. And yeah, we said it.
It's amazing what you learn on this show.
It is. So that's definitely what you were looking for. I think every confirmand needs to play on the Win-O-Rama 3000 or some version of it. So you guys got to get busy. The heart of it is an Arduino Uno, so some programming there to make the lights work, and just like that, we had a great, great game.
Beautiful. I love it. Good job, Sally.
Yeah.
I can't wait till next month.
You never know.
One thing we want to let everybody know before we jump into the interview and our tips and such is not only can you contribute a suggestion for next month's DIY project and anything else you want to contribute, there are two categories that we're looking for contributions from or in, and that is ministry resources and listener reviews. The end of next month is the time where we'll be doing a drawing for an Apple TV and a Nexus 7 tablet. So if you have a ministry resource that you'd like to highlight and share with everybody that you found useful, it can be a hardware item, a software package, a website, something that you found useful in your ministry, share that with the show and we'll enter you to win. As well as listener reviews, we'd like you to evaluate a product or service, something that somebody might be wondering about, and if you submit that, then you'll be entered to win as well. So I mentioned the interview. I was excited this week because you mentioned Las Vegas. We had a conference out in Las Vegas a number of months ago, and person that we invited to come out and join us amongst 40 people about our Distance Outreach and Technology Conference was Laura Harstead from Kingdom Workers. And Laura, as she'll introduce herself, is the volunteer coordinator for Kingdom Workers, and in that capacity finds the need to make use of a number of technologies, including social networking. And we asked her to join us and talk about what she does for Kingdom Workers, and she thankfully agreed to do that. So if I can cue this thing up, I'm going to play that interview at this point. We had a couple of on-air or pre-show technical difficulties, so I'm hoping that all will go well here. Just give me 1 second to change my appropriate settings. That's good, good. And let's see if we can make this. Just 1 minute here. Oh, there it is. Let's play the interview.
Joining us today on Wells Tech is our good friend, Wells Tech friend, Laura Harstead, who works for Kingdom Workers as the International Volunteer Coordinator and Project Developer. Thank you so much, Laura, for joining us. Welcome.
Thank you. Very happy to be here.
Yeah, and so we're in Minnesota, but not in the same location, and Martin's obviously over in Wisconsin doing the Google Hangout today, and Laura's first experience maybe with a live Google Hangout, so happy that it's on Wells Tech.
That's right. I'd forgotten Laura was moved. You moved to Minnesota, right, not too long ago?
Right. I live just south of New Ulm.
Okay.
Excellent. Maybe do a little bit more of an intro for those that don't know you yet. Tell us a little bit about yourself and your responsibilities and whatever you want to share.
Sure. Okay. I lived in Minnesota. I grew up here, and I went to Bethany Lutheran College to start off, and then I transferred to Mankato State to get my music teaching license. And I was a teacher for 9 years. I taught music and English as a second language. It took me all over the world, actually. I taught in Minnesota, and then my husband and I've been married for 13 years. We went to China and taught there for a year, and that led to my teaching English as a second language in Omaha Public Schools for a few years, and we also taught in Vietnam. So I've had a pretty amazing adventure so far, and then out of the blue, this Kingdom Workers position just fell into my lap, and it's been amazing. I've been working for Kingdom Workers for 2 years now, and I work mostly on the international side of things. I help to recruit volunteers for the international projects, and I assist in developing projects as I can, and I also give a lot of presentations. So I travel quite a bit, going to various churches and events and talking about Kingdom Workers and how people can really use their gifts to serve God wherever they are.
So Kingdom Workers, I guess my assessment of Kingdom Workers, and you can tell me if I'm wrong, primarily they're hooking up willing volunteers, willing people who want to live their faith with fields that need their services, correct?
Yes, that's right. And it's pretty exciting because we are focused on all organizations, church bodies, and fellowship with the Wells. And that's the entire CELC, the Confessional Evangelical Lutheran Conference. Wells and ELS are members of that, as well as around 24 other church bodies. So it's pretty exciting to see what's happening with that. We actually have two volunteers from our church in Germany serving right now in Malawi for Easter for Kids. So it's truly a global connection and experience with Kingdom Workers. It's just exciting to see that happen.
So if I were a volunteer and I wanted to get connected with Kingdom Workers and take advantage of what they do, how would what you do help me do that? How do you get involved with that?
Yeah, and great question. If you're interested in volunteering, the best first step is to check out our website and see what current openings there are for volunteers. And we have so many things available for all ages, all skill sets. Right now we're looking for a lot of volunteers who are skilled in soccer. We need about 60 people to help with soccer Bible camps. We're looking for an IT expert, actually, to help at the Peridot School in Arizona at the Apache Lutheran Mission. So that might be somebody listening to this broadcast, so be sure to call me. And we are looking for a lot of people to help with canvassing and Vacation Bible School, as well as a long-term project, which would be teaching English in Chile. And all of these are listed on the website. So if any of those are something you might be interested in, you'd go to the website, find a project that you'd like to learn more about, and then there's an interest form. You just click on that, fill in basic contact information, and that gets sent to one of the volunteer coordinators, myself or Joyce Beglinger. And we would contact that volunteer, talk to them, find out their skills, their interests, and match them with a volunteer opportunity, and then help them prepare for that opportunity through providing all the information they need to be prepared, taking them through a volunteer orientation program, and we help them set up. We have online gifting sites to help with fundraising to cover the cost of the trip. So each volunteer has a personal gifting site, and they can focus their fundraising efforts through that gifting site.
So maybe, Laura, this would be a good time for you to show us a little bit of the the technical side of things, since we like techie things on the Wells Tech podcast. And I understand you have a great web presence and some other web avenues as well. So,
all right. I would love to show you that. And I'll start with our website. This is the Kingdom Workers website. It's just kingdomworkers.com. And at the top, I'll get right to that. I am currently on the blogs from the volunteers, and what you'd see, all of the volunteers that serve through us, we like them to share their stories, share their photos, and so you can go on the website and see all the blogs that the volunteers have shared through Kingdom Workers. And also we have...
I would assume that would be a great marketing tool, for one, to kind of experience those fields through the eyes of another, but also helps the... the individual themselves kind of journal and think through and maybe appreciate what God is doing through them as well.
Right. Journaling is such a great way to remember your mission experience. Yeah, good point. And you can see these blue buttons. That's just how serve missions. If you want to volunteer, click on that. Contribute now if you'd like to donate to support volunteers. And then if you are a congregation or an organization that needs volunteers, click on the request volunteers. And that's how we kind of put all the pieces together and connect everybody to help each other. And all of this, all of these stories, these volunteer blogs, we have a Facebook page. And you can find so much information on here, updates from the volunteers, current projects that are in need of volunteers. It's just a very active page and a great one to like, so be sure to check that out.
I would assume social networks are really important to your work and connecting mm-hmm. people and getting the word out, and just very integral to the volunteer process.
Yes, it is, and our volunteers are a lot of times the best advocates for Kingdom Workers. We ask them to go out and give presentations before their trip to tell people about it, and after their trip to tell people how it went and hopefully get them excited about volunteering too. And we also, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, I understand that you, photography is a big piece of this, that, you know, capturing these moments and things. Do you have a way that you share photos as well?
Yes, we do. Kingdom Workers has a Flickr page, and we have pictures from the volunteers and their mission trips. The ones you see at this top are from Chile. We just sent a volunteer to Chile, so we're starting to get photos from him. Next, we've got the Malawi Disability Ministry, and scrolling down, you'll see the Builders for Christ project that just finished up in Beverly Hills, Florida. So you can check on all the projects, their sets, and if you'd like to see a specific project, you search through the sets for that project to find the photos. And we also get some great videos from volunteers. So we're on Vimeo, and we have videos from Africa and the U.S. and different volunteers in action. So those are always exciting to watch.
Taking advantage of a lot of channels, huh?
Yes, always. Reaching the most people that we can.
I would think many of your volunteers are maybe a little bit nervous about the process, and the tools that you have there may go a long way to kind of helping them understand that, hey, this is not as scary as it might seem going halfway around the world, that other people did it just like them. I think that's a great tool set that you have, Laura.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and we, for the volunteers serving internationally, for example, in Malawi, we've even had a past volunteer write a letter to all the future volunteers just to kind of share from that volunteer perspective. So we do get that volunteer feedback and input to help prepare the future volunteers.
Excellent. Are there other screens that you wanted to share with us, or is that kind of...
I think that's
Okay.
Pretty good overview of Kingdom Workers on social media and on our website, but we're always looking for new avenues to reach people, so feel free to send us ideas.
Excellent. So I understand, you know, that you work with them on the front end, that they come back and they share their experience and that kind of thing. It's not just a make this trip and you're done kind of thing. Do you work with them further on the back end? Or?
Yes, and for the international volunteers, we have something called the Mission Volunteer Program. And this is something that we have the teams come together via a web conference, and we've used GoToMeeting and we've used Skype, either one of those. And the volunteers come together. They've usually never met each other before. They're from all over the world, and they get to meet their teammates before the mission project. They have Bible studies together. They prepare for the mission trip, and they prepare for the new culture that they are about to experience.
Excellent. Great. Excellent.
Handling. So are there any new programs, enhancements coming up in Kingdom Workers in the near future or distant future, Laura? What are you guys thinking?
Yeah, well, I guess the newest one, which is kind is it happened, but it's still happening. We have a new volunteer in Chile. He just arrived the end of March. And that is an exciting project because it's the first time Kingdom Workers has been in Chile to help out the churches there. And it's a partnership with the Evangelical Lutheran Synod and with the Chilean government. And we are sending volunteers to teach English and serve as an evangelism assistant at the church. And we are still looking for volunteers for that. We want a second team to arrive in June and teach for at least a year. So this is something that is new. It should be long term. That is our hope. And it's a pilot project that we just started this year. A second one that's really exciting is the Apache Volunteer Manager position. And this is something that in Malawi, Kingdom Workers has field managers. And Stefan Felgenhauer and his wife Kathy Felgenhauer serve as the people that help develop the projects and then also prepare the volunteers and work with them when they arrive. So we want that same position to be at the Apache Reservation in Arizona. So there will be somebody on site working with everybody, working with all the projects that are being developed to organize it, and then to also organize all of the volunteers that will be going down there. So we see a lot of development coming at the Apache Lutheran Mission and a lot of need, but I think a lot of people will be excited to help there.
Very good. Well, we sure do thank you for giving us an overview of the work that you're involved in. We pray that God continue to bless that work, and we'd love to stay in touch and hear more about new developments as they come up. So.
Oh, thank you so much.
Mm-hmm. Just as a final thought, what is the URL, the website that they should go to if they want to get involved?
KingdomWorkers.com.
Very easy.
Thanks. Yeah.
Yes.
Thanks, Laura.
Thank you. Have a great week.
All right, Sally, the work that a volunteer coordinator, I think, has to do is immense, and anybody who's dealt with volunteer organizations before knows that this, it is not an easy thing. Just looking at all the technology she's using to bring together to connect volunteers with places to go and things to do. They're using a website, they're using a blog, they're using video on Vimeo, Flickr, they're using social networks, Facebook. All of those are kind of a package deal and probably a lesson to be learned for congregations and schools who want to activate their volunteer workforce, that it's not as simple as putting a request in the bulletin or making an announcement after church. There's a lot of planning, there's a lot of hand-holding, and then like you mentioned or you asked, a lot of follow-up. You know, what do you do after to keep them engaged, and hopefully they'll volunteer again?
Yeah, I think that volunteer programs grow because people see people being successful at it and having a good time and growing in the process and things like that, obviously making a difference. So those stories, that whole overarching story sharing is really important. So, you have to have a long-term commitment with those volunteers to make that kind of thing work.
Yeah, absolutely. So thank you, Laura, for joining us. We really appreciate you taking the time, I'm sure, out of a very busy schedule, and blessings on the work of Kingdom Workers. So incredibly important.
And her work. All right,
it's time for us to move on to our tips of the week. And my tip is something that I've been using quite a bit lately, and something that is fairly new. So let me do a quick screen share here. And that is the use of email to OneNote. Those of you that are Evernote users, and I was an Evernote user for a long time, and I still kind of am, but I've mostly migrated over to OneNote, Microsoft's product, because it's what I use at work, and it's just easier to kind of keep all things together. And they've recently upgraded it and made it a part of the suite, and now it's on the Mac, and it's on the iPad. And one neat feature of that that Evernote had had for a long time was the ability to email yourself notes. So you can email me at OneNote.com, and as long as the email address that you're sending from is a registered email with your OneNote account, your Microsoft account, it will receive it and plug it into the appropriate folder in your OneNote. And it will take emails, it will take attachments, and works really slick. I think it's got all the same kinds of things that you can do in Evernote, where you could maybe email yourself a to-do list, email yourself a receipt, a picture, a document, those kinds of things, and it'll jump right into your OneNote, which is again then synced to whatever device or computers you have running OneNote. So that's just a quick tip if you are a OneNote user or thinking that I can't go to OneNote from another tool because didn't have that emailing capability as of the middle of last month. You do. That's me at OneNote.com. So that's my quick and easy tip for the day.
Very convenient. All right. I have a tip of the day as well. I just discovered this on my iPhone. So this is kind of a niche tip for iPhone users in OS 7, iOS 7, and that is I was surfing using the Safari browser on my iPhone, and I noticed there was a little icon. It looks like several lines, and it's in the upper left of the address bar in the Safari browser. I will tell you it doesn't show up on every page, but when it does, you can click on it, and you get the Safari Reader version of the web page. So basically it gives you a mobile friendly kind of view of the web page. It strips off extra things like images and things that may compress the page some or whatever, and just gives you a really clean view of the web page for reading purposes. So I was pleasantly surprised when I accidentally clicked on that icon, and all of a sudden I could see things a lot more clearly on my iPhone, and I thought others might appreciate knowing that it's there, recognizing it, and being able to click on it for reading. So that's cool. My tip.
Yeah, there's a lot of those reader-type programs, and I think a mobile browser isn't really a browser unless it's got one of those features now, and it really is nice, especially small print, to be able to blow that up in a little bit more reader-friendly format. Plus, I think it gets rid of the ads, doesn't it?
I think so.
Page. So that's a win-win. Let's move on to our picks of the week, Sally.
And I'm up first, and my pick of the week is productivity-related, Martin, and you're usually our productivity guy. Perhaps you've talked about this on the podcast before. I'm not really sure, but a new productivity tool that I've learned about recently is something called Kanban, and I wanted to share it with the Wells Tech audience. And there's a lot of links I will include in the show notes where you can read more about Kanban. It is basically a method of tracking your to-do list, and it's particularly effective with teams in that you use a whiteboard and post-it notes, and you post your things that you need to do, the things you're going to work on for that day, and the things that are completed, each represented with individual post-it notes on the whiteboard. So you can easily shuffle things around. You can use different color post-it notes to represent different people on your team. And, you know, you can even add stickers and things to represent different methods of working on projects or whatever. So lots of reading, like I said, out on the web and examples you can come up with lots of ways that you can make use of Kanban boards. The power, it seems to be, is that you have a visual representation. You can walk by and see what everyone's working on. You can see the progress that's being made. You can see things that are completed. And for me, interestingly, I kind of do the solo act. I work remotely from my coworkers, but I've just started using it for my own projects and using different color post-it notes to represent different types of projects and things. And I really just use two categories: things that I don't, that I know I need to do, but I'm not going to work on today, and then things that I am going to work on today. And as I complete my work for the day, then I move it back to the other side of the board. And I don't really have a board. I kind of stick it on my desk and my shelves that are part of my desk. But it gives me a way to visually track my projects and to stay a lot more focused on them. I also found online several solutions where you can do this concept with a cloud-based solution. Lino is one of those. You can create a free account and add post-it notes on a virtual board. And you can save that board and share it with other people and that kind of thing. So I was working on a project where I just wanted to map out a website and be able to share it with another group. And I was able to do that on a Lino board and use different color post-it notes to represent different parts of the website and things like that. So just a couple of ideas for you if you're looking for a new way to tackle your task list. Perhaps doing some research on Kanban might lead you to a better solution.
And that's we're using it here in the Senate office for in our software services group, and they found it to be extremely helpful. I think it's really useful in kind of a team environment, and seems to be working really, really well for them. I think the visual part of it is really important, and you know, there's just tactile nature to it, but there are some digital tools that they use as well. Kanban is K-A-N-B-A-N. If you're looking for a search, and we'll put the link in the show notes. Sally, do you know the etymology behind the word
Kanban? You know, I read it several places and it didn't stick, but I know it started back in the 40s. Toyota introduced this concept in their engineering team, and yeah, I'm just looking at the top of this.
It's taking some of those productivity. Those productivity spikes, you know, that went, you know, through the auto industry in particular, total quality management, TQM, Six Sigma, those kinds of things, and has made it kind of into this this Kanban board.
So Kanban is Japanese for visual sign or card. Yeah. So it's just it is very visual, and I think that's different than kind of locking away a task list in a written format that. Yep. Seeing it in front of you and seeing tasks move through a process, and you can label your categories however they fit with your work processes or whatever, but being able to physically move it and see it move through the process is a positive thing.
Yep. Okay. Great. Thank you for sharing that. Mm-hmm. My pick of the week is actually a hardware pick, and it is a printer. And if you are in the market for an inkjet printer, this is one I would highly recommend. It is the Canon Pixma, P-I-X-M-A, MX922, very catchy. Wireless color photo printer with scanner, copier, and fax. Now, I don't use the copier and fax much, the scanner sometimes, but the neatest thing about this printer, other than the price, which has been reduced on Amazon to $99.99, down from $199.99, and they just did that recently, is that it has AirPrint. And what that means is it's a wireless printer, so it gets on your network, and it was really easy to set up. It just found the network, and you set in the password in once. And then anything that supports AirPrint, which is your iPad, your iPod Touch, your iPhone, can print wirelessly to it. So when you go to print something, it sees it as a printer and away it goes, and that's all you really need to do. A couple other things I like about it: it supports Google Cloud Print. So if you have anything that supports that device driver, that Google Cloud Print, you can set it up so that it will support Google Cloud Print. You could actually print from anywhere in the world to this printer through Google Cloud Print. And two other things that maybe are highlights. It has a 250-sheet tray, which is awesome. I was looking for something that had a little bit higher capacity than what I had. And it has duplex printing, which is a huge saver. So when you're looking at duplex printing, you're looking at saving a lot of paper. My previous printer really only had single-sided. You could duplex manually, but this made it real easy. You can also print on DVDs, so you can do DVD covers if you're still doing that kind of thing, and all kinds of other kind of niche things, but primarily the things that I mentioned are the ones that I really found to be extra useful for my printing purposes. So that's the Canon PIXMA MX922, available on Amazon right now for under $100.
You know, Martin, we've kind of come to the conclusion that it's cheaper to buy a new printer than to buy ink cartridges for your existing one. $99 for all that functionality, that just blows me away.
And so. It came with ink.
Yeah.
Don't know how long this ink will last. But for my old printer, if I needed to buy all the color ink and the black ink cartridge, it was about $65.
Yeah.
$60. So I'm 2/3 of the way to a new printer. With ink and a new printer and something that did more for me functionally. So.
Sure.
Excellent. All right, let's move along. We want to remind our folks of a couple of things coming up, Sally.
That's right, and I have a couple of websites to share with you, and you'll find these links in the show notes. First of all, Martin and I are teaming up to teach Final Web website management. We're going to be doing that at the end of July this summer at the Center for Mission and Ministry. We'll have a day specifically for teachers looking at managing your classroom websites and all the kind of things that go around sharing links, sharing photos, just different information for your classroom. And then we're going to have 3 days that are kind of beginning to end all that you can do with your website, giving you the big picture, sharing some new features with Final Web, including live streaming and responsive website designs. I'm very excited about all the things that Final Web's got going on right now, and excited to share those new things with Final Web customers. So if you're interested, there's an info page at bit.ly/FW Training Info for Final Web Training Info. And we'll have that link in the show notes. You can get registered there. The cost is only $49 per day, and you get lunch and a continental breakfast for that price as well.
And snack.
So, yeah. Come and have a good time with Martin and I and learn about website management. We are going to team up for another event, Martin. Seems like I'm not going to be in New Ulm much this summer. Coming up on June 3rd, Kettle Moraine Lutheran High School is sponsoring a Tech and Teach conference. The cost is $30 for the day, and they're going to have 20 different sessions to choose from. They've got quite a schedule of different sessions all about Google products. There's iPad sessions. There's Schoology sessions. Art make and take sessions, just you name it. You can come and geek out with other techies in the southeastern Wisconsin area, and also join us for a Wells Tech podcast that afternoon, because Martin and I are both going to be there doing presentations, and we're going to do the podcast live at the end of the day at Tech and Teach at Kettle Moraine. The date, again, is June 3rd. And information and sign up, there's a registration form on the website, so we'll have that link in the show notes.
Yeah, Debbie just informed me that she is on the agenda for that, so you could pick your Spriggs instructor for that class. She's doing the art make and take.
Excellent.
So if you want somebody pretty, if that's your criteria for enrollment, then you know which one the obvious choice is.
All right.
Let's move along to community feedback.
We just recently, I think maybe just today, heard from Laura Schwartfeger, Would that be how you'd pronounce that, Martin?
That'd be my guess.
Okay. And she sent us a link to the website Creation Swap. I actually did some searching. We talked about this, and it's on our ministry resource page from back in 2011. But I also mentioned it not too long ago on a podcast with some Easter images that I was showing. But right. Just kind of a broader look at what Creation Swap is. It's basically a place for artists to share their work, and it's specifically for Christian artwork. And much of the material that's on the website is available for free. And even those images and resources that are priced for purchase are very affordably priced. I did a quick search and came up with, I think, 4 or 6 pages of just Easter imagery that's available on the website. So, and this is just the free stuff, so there's plenty more that's available for a small fee. So check out Creation Swap the next time you're looking for some imagery, perhaps for a presentation you're working on or whatever it may be. This may be a good source for you to be sure and bookmark.
Great. Thank you for sharing that, Laura.
Next up, I noticed over on the Wells School community on Google Plus, I'm sorry, the Wells Google School community, that Ryan Randall had shared a link to Avast, and this is the business class version of Avast, which is normally a fee-based product. It's available for free for education institutes. So if you're looking for their endpoint protection suite, and I know virus protection is a really big topic these days, as there's so many issues that are in the news on a daily basis, so many challenges. Perhaps it's time to spend your time, but not your money, investing in Avast. Apparently, there is a $200 per year fee if you want to get their support in addition to the free software, but the software package is available for education institutes for free. So check out that link. And then finally, just a couple of pins, a couple of infographics on the Pinterest site. One of them is called The Gamification of Education, and it talks about how many students there are, how many are not making it all the way through school, and how gamification may motivate them to continue through school. It's a really great, interesting infographic. Shows some historical process and the development of games and things like that. So check out this link. And then finally, another pin. This one is 12 roles for Google Drive in the classroom. And it talks about things you can do with different Google Drive products, like self-grading quizzes or mind mapping or building vocabulary, taking digital notes, organization, writer's workshop, templates, all kinds of ideas for you, especially if you're a Google Apps for Education school. This might be worth checking out and kind of sparking some new ideas for use in your classroom. And that's what I have for community feedback for this week, Martin.
Great. Please keep that feedback coming. We'd love that segment of the show and would welcome anything that you would like to contribute. So please consider that. Don't just keep it to yourself. Share it with the rest of us. Next week, kind of a interesting topic that came out of our Las Vegas Distance Outreach and Technology Conference, which we referenced before, and that is a segment called The Dark Side of the Internet. We need some kind of dramatic music, Sally.
Dun, dun, dun.
We're going to hopefully have Jazz Lundquist on the show, who actually recommended that we have the topic. She is a member at Apostles in San Jose, and we've had her on the show before, does a lot of work in media and is a screenwriter. And we'll be talking about some of the things that you really need to watch out for on the Internet. We obviously try and focus on the things that are usable for ministry, but there are some things obviously that we want to be careful about using, and awareness is the first step. So Jazz is going to join us and help us think about that a little bit. Sally, we have some music available this week.
We do, and it's just in time for Holy Week, and like I said at the beginning of the show, our focus on Jesus' death on the cross. The title of the song is The Nails. It's from artist Michael Schrader, and specifically a Good Friday focus of the song. And we have it available for 1 week for free download. You can get the MP3 file and add it to your music collection. In addition, Michael's been generous enough to make a video of the song available for free download as well. And we'll have a link in the show notes where you can grab an MP4 or MOV version of the music video of the song if you'd like to have that as well.
Michael is an awesome singer. If you've never heard him and have an opportunity to do so, don't pass up that opportunity. And friend of the show, and we really thank him for his contributions to it. So check that out and go to wellstech.wells.net for that link to both the audio and the video. Sally, I think we have run the course of the show this week, got in our hour, and we'll be at it again next week with The Dark Side of the Internet. Thanks to all of you for tuning in once again. Please share the fact that this show exists. We'd like more and more people to join the Wells Tech family. You don't have to come to the dinner table every Tuesday, but each week it's available if you have the ability to do that. And if nothing else, use our show notes page as a resource page for you and just kind of see what we're up to and see if there's anything interesting for you there. So thanks for joining, and we'll talk to you next week.